I'm thankful to be here today, and I appreciate each and every one of you coming out. Brother David said a little while ago, if you're visiting with us, you're our guest. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you will be back. Of course, I say that before you hear the preaching. It's okay to laugh at Gateway. Amen. I'm glad I'm not a stick-in-the-mud Christian. Somebody say amen right there. I like to I like to smile, and I like to be happy, and I thank the Lord that He gave me joy. Some of our little ones run around sharing joy with you. I like that. Amen. And I hope that they'll keep on running around sharing joy, and I hope that you got some joy out of that. John 16 and verse number 12 is where we will begin reading. The Bible says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for what You're doing in our lives. Thank You for what You're doing here at Gateway Baptist Church. But I pray that You'll continue to bless our church, that You will use it for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray, God, that You would forgive me of my many sins, my many shortcomings, where I have failed You. Lord, let me be pure and holy before You as I preach Your word. Give me Your wisdom. Give me Your strength. Lord, encourage our hearts and help us, Lord, to know and to grow from the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've been preaching through the book of John, and in preaching through the book of John, we finally come to this time. Many of you that's been here for several weeks, you've heard me say this before, but these chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, are carrying us to Gethsemane. Jesus is on His way to pray the prayer where the Bible says that He sweated great drops of blood. We're familiar with that passage of Scripture. How that Jesus, prior to the cross, was already shedding His blood. He was already so intensely praying that His sweat had blood, and the blood came out of His sweat pores. That, to me, is incredible. But this is the conversation. Chapters 14 and 15 and 16 are the conversation that Jesus had with the disciples as He's carrying them to Gethsemane. Now here in a little while, these same disciples that He's given this spiritual knowledge to, they will fall asleep while He's in this intense prayer. They will not understand the gravity of the situation. I don't think that they understand the gravity of the situation where they are now as they're walking with Jesus. Jesus has the doom of Calvary lingering over His head as He makes His way out of the upper room and down whatever street they might have took to get to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He will pray and the great drops of blood will happen and the anguish of the cross will begin. See, the anguish of the cross did not begin just on the cross of Calvary. I don't know if you have dealt with a lot of stress or have been in a stressful situation before in your life. I look around the room and I imagine that all of you have been. But you will know that we have anxiety and anguish that happens prior to an event taking place in our life, right? And so Jesus, being as much God as He was man, had those same anxieties, if I can say it that way. He had those same concerns, so much so that in that prayer He says, not My will, but Thine be done. Nevertheless, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, then let it pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He had the anticipation of the suffering of Calvary as he walked to Gethsemane. And while Gethsemane is not Calvary, that's where the suffering began. And so Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples with all of that in his mind and on his heart as he walks to that garden spot. And he looks at them. Now, we talked last week where he said that the Holy Spirit was going to come and that it would judge the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And thank God for those things. And we preached on that and looked at that. But then verse number 12 comes along and it has these words. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And so if I could, just for a little while, I want to preach from verse number 12, and then we'll go down a little bit further. Jesus had so much more that he wanted to reveal to the disciples, but they were not ready to handle that kind of spiritual intuition yet. Amen? We see a progression of growth that is happening here as Jesus is walking there to Gethsemane, as his own suffering is in mind. He's careful to make sure that these disciples understand that they have not arrived spiritually. And why are you preaching this, preacher? Because I believe I'm in a room with a whole lot of people who may think that you have arrived spiritually. But I assure you, there is greater growth coming. And there are more things that God wants to show you, and there are more places that God wants to grow you, and there are more ways that God wants to build you up in His faith and in your faith, but you cannot bear them now. I tell our young folks a lot of times that in Sunday school with them, I've told them some before, they will be amazed at how differently they process life and things when you're between 13 and 16. You view the world in such an incredible way. And then from 16 to 20, you have a different mindset. And then from 20 to 25, you have a different mindset. And I hate to break it to you guys, but you don't get a brain until you're 35. Amen. I'm not sure that mine's still there, and I'll be 45 in a few months. But I don't know. But I do know that there is a progression of growth in the natural life, and there is a progression of growth in the spiritual life. And Jesus said, even though I am telling you that the Holy Spirit is coming and that He's going to judge the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, I have a lot more that I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not ready for it. You've got to go through the process of growth. Growth hurts. Growth is difficult. Growth is strenuous. I remember when I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, I had some pain come up in below my knees. It hurt so bad that Mama carried me to the doctor. And while I was at the doctor come in and he looked at my legs and my knees and my little knobby boy knees, y'all know that. And he looked at me and he said, And I was like, oh no, man, I'm about to die. And he looked again and he said, oh, this is not a good case. And I wished I could find that doctor. I'd go back and thank him for how he did me that day. But he got up, he stood up and he said, well, it looks like we've got a very serious case here. I said, a serious case? You know, little boy, I didn't understand. My mom was all intense, and I think she'd done picked up on it, but she was just playing along just to aggravate me. And he said, yes, you have what's called Slaughter Osgood's disease. And I thought, oh no, somebody's going to slaughter me and I'm going to die. Some guy named Osgood's going to come along and snatch me up. And he said, yes, it's a name given for where when your bottom of your legs grow a little faster than your top of your legs, what you're experiencing is called growing pains. Now, I don't know if y'all know this yet or not, but every little body goes through growing pains. And they have to have growth happen. But growth is not easy.
changes happen in our physical body that are amaze us and surprise us and even scare us. And when we look at the physical body, I don't know why it is that people think that they can bypass spiritual growth without the growing pains that come with it. The Lord told the disciples here, I've got many more things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And when you think about those things that He would say to him, we find the Apostle Paul writing what we call the Pauline epistles that will take up more than half of the New Testament of the Word of God. And we find that Paul goes through growing pains, that Paul works through life. In the book of Galatians alone, for 17 years. See, we often read in the book of Acts where Paul was changed there on the Damascus Road, and we think, man, that's all there is to it. He was changed on Damascus Road and he went right into ministry. But if you read the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter number 1, you find that that's not what happened. Paul was 17 years in growing in the Lord before he ever went out on a missionary journey. He had a lot of things that God wanted to teach him, and until he got those things, God was not going to use him in the capacity that he could use them. He told these disciples, I've got a whole lot more to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. Years ago, I read a book by Corrie ten Boom. And if you're not familiar with that author, I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with her. She was an incredible human being, but she had a dad that was a godly man, and she called him Father Ten Boone. And one day when she was a little girl, they were going to the train station to catch a train to go to another large city to find the clock there. He was a watchmaker, her dad was, and I can't remember if it was The Hiding Place where this story was told or if it was In My Father's House, both two great books written by her. But in that book, she said, I was standing at the train station with my father, and he had a great big suitcase that he carried with him. And she looked at her father and said, Dad, Father, I can carry, I believe she might have called him Papa, I can carry that suitcase for you. And he said, okay, child. And she tried to pick up the suitcase, and for her little body, it was too much for her to carry. It was just too heavy for her to move. And she would walk just a little bit, and she would have to set that thing down. And Father Ten Boone picked up what was going on. He went back down there to where she was, and he picked up the case, and he carried it the rest of the way. And they got on the train and began their journey. And Corrie looked at her father and said, why is it that I couldn't carry it? Why is it? And he said, darling, you're not strong enough yet. But as you grow and as you mature, you will come to a place where you can bear the weight that I bear as well. Child of God, let me use that illustration. You might not can bear the weight right now. You might not can handle the load right now. But if you'll be faithful to God and you'll stick with Him, He'll bring you in strength to a place where you can carry the loads that He wants you to carry. You can bear the weights that He wants you to bear. He can use you in a greater capacity than what you're being used right now. But you must follow the Lord. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I'm glad that the Lord, while they were on their way to Gethsemane, that He didn't give all of the Pauline epistles to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, and all the other disciples that were there with Him that night, right? I'm glad He didn't just try and cram it all in their head. Maybe the Lord knows how much you can take and when you can take it. Isn't that something? That God knows better for our life what we need than what we do. We like to pretend. We run around here pretending that we know how to do everything. We got everything under control. And the fact of the matter is we done made a mess of everything and we don't know how to get out of it. And the Lord comes along and makes us what He wants us to be. I like that little old song I used to sing when I was growing up at my home church. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. I used to be a young preacher. Now I'm an old preacher, amen, an older preacher. And I'm thankful that God is still working on this old boy. I'm still growing. Why? Because the Lord has many things to say to me, but I can't bear them right now. I've got to go through some growth. Amen. Verse number 13. Let's take a look at that. Y'all ready? Howbeit, when he, Jesus called the Holy Spirit him. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, amen. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. If you have something that is a doctrine that pulls you away from the truth of the Word of God, it does not line up with the Word of God, you mark it down, it is not of God. The Holy Spirit of God will not contradict His Word. If the Spirit is leading you to do something that is opposite what God's Word teaches, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. This is why, here's a big thing been going around a lot. There's people talk about having the gift of discernment. If you have any discernment at all, it is to discern between the spirits, not people's behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, back me right on up on that. You don't have the ability to tell how somebody else is feeling. You don't get to have some special gift that opens you up. You don't get it. You may think you do. You may think that you can discern something when the Bible teaches that what you can discern is whether or not there's a good spirit or an evil spirit that's guiding you. Are y'all all right? This is what the Bible teaches. This is not just what I want to say because I like to give you the warm and fuzzies, although I know it is right now. What our problem is that we want glory for what the Holy Spirit of God does. If God discerns something in our life, if God removes someone out of our life, then we want to be able to say, well, I knew it all along. No, you didn't. You did not. You had no clue. You thought they was the best thing since bagged chips and sliced bread. You didn't have no idea how rough it was going to be on your life. You just thought, or you just wanted the glory for what God had done. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit of God's not going to lie to you neither. You might not like what He's got to say, but He's not going to lie to you. You might not like where the Holy Spirit's going to lead you, but He's not going to lie to you. Because He's going to speak the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. For He shall not, let's read on in that verse, for He shall not speak of Himself. The Holy Spirit of God does not vaunt Himself as being greater than the Son of God or God the Father. The operation of the Holy Spirit is under the guidance of God the Father, and it is in accordance with God the Son. And the things that the Holy Spirit teaches you as He's growing you, because you cannot bear them now, will not contradict what God said in His Word. He will not lead you away from the Word of God. He will not lead you to another book to get you better spiritual understanding. If you have a problem understanding a spiritual passage in the Word of God, I'm going to give you a secret to Bible study. Read it, then read it again. Then if there is a word in there that you don't understand, get you a dictionary. Read the understanding of that word in the dictionary, the definition, and then pray, Lord, I don't understand what this passage means. The Lord will give you wisdom. Matter of fact, the book of James tells us that He'll give us wisdom to all those that ask wisdom of Him. that he'll not upbraid you for asking for wisdom. You go all the way back to old King Solomon and you look at his life. King Solomon asked something of God. What did he ask him? He asked him that he would make him, y'all say it with me, wise. And the Lord said, because you've asked for wisdom and not for riches, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you riches. We got a lot of people that pray for patience. You ought to be praying for wisdom, that God will give you what He needs you to know and that you'll be able to go through something rather than have patience to endure something. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience and experience hope. Ask God to give you wisdom in what you're looking at, and He will. The Lord has no problem distributing wisdom because He is the wellspring of wisdom. Amen? He's the doorway of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. If any man come to the Father, he'll come through me. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But watch this. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit of God is going to turn you into a psychic? Absolutely not. It means that God, who at sundry times spake through men, and they were moved of the Holy Spirit to record what God spoke to them. John on the Isle of Patmos wrote the revelation, one revelation. Y'all okay there? It ain't revelations. There is one revelation. It is the revealing of the apocalypse, as we like to call it. It is the revealing of what Jesus is going to do. It is a revelation to you and I, recorded by John on the Isle of Patmos. And he will show you things to come. That don't mean you get to pronounce what's coming in somebody's life because you're a Christian. I get sick to death of this stuff that confused the Word of God. Somebody say, I'm going to speak a prophecy over you. Well, if it ain't in the Word of God, just hold it to yourself. The Bible is all we need. How arrogant we must be to believe that the Lord should give us some special revelation when He's given all the other Christians in time past the canon of Scriptures to read and believe. How arrogant we must be to think that God will bow down to our whim of needing to know more before we will believe in Him. It is not a problem with the Word of God. It is a problem with you and I. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you those things to come. Well, how you know that, preacher? Well, in the next verse, number 14, he said, he, y'all reading it? Can we say that out loud, all of us together in verse number 14, just that first line? He shall glorify me. That me is not you. These words are in red. If you have a red letter edition Bible, if not, they're in black ink. He shall glorify me. This is Jesus speaking here to the disciples. I have a lot more to say to you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit that will help you and guide you and lead you after I'm gone from this world. And here's what he says. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. The Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God's purpose is to glorify Jesus. That's why when he does something, it is for the glorification of God and not for you and I. The Christian life is not so that you and I can have a better life or a greater life, although it will be a better life and it will be a greater life than anything the old devil ever give you. The purpose of the Christian life is to glorify God. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. If you are here this morning and you are saved because the Holy Spirit of God revealed to you that you were lost and in need of a Savior. And that, when you get saved, will glorify the Lord. Then your life, hopefully, will continue to glorify the Lord. And you will grow. And He will show you all about Jesus. Every one of us in this room, we do not have first-person accounts with Jesus physically. We have first-person accounts with Jesus spiritually, but not physically. These men had a physical, literal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He tells them here, the rest of the things that you're going to learn, He's going to get them from me, and He's going to show them to you for the rest of your life. If we will be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, He will teach you greater and greater and greater things as you grow in Him. Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We often begin our prayers with a why instead of a thankfulness for what He's doing. There are things that hurt. There are things that discourage. There are things that are incredible in our life, and we don't fully understand those things. And our natural attitude, just because something is natural, does not make it spiritual. Somebody say amen right there. Just because something is a natural reaction does not mean that it is a spiritual reaction. Just because we have an emotional reaction does not mean that we're having a spiritual reaction. Amen. The Lord takes us through these things that we go through, whether they be difficult or maybe they're a good thing, and we'll say, "Lord, why? Why has this happened to me?" Rather than, "Lord, what are you doing?" Did you know it's okay to ask God what He's doing? It's okay. "Lord, I don't understand this. What are you doing?" I want you to know that God is a big boy. And He will put His big boy britches on. Matter of fact, He's always got them on. I think a large part of prayer lives not happening the way that we want them to is that you ain't learned how to get honest with God yet. You might have to get on the floor before you and God. Take your smartwatch off and leave it on the charger or out of the other room. Leave your smartphone out. Cut the TV off. Somebody say amen right there. You're not going to have a strong prayer life with the daytime shows going on. Amen? You're not going to have a strong prayer life with Netflix running in the background and something crosses your mind and you think you just need to go ahead and pray. You're not going to have a strong prayer life if you're busy checking your text messages while you're trying to get a hold of God. You're not, you okay? You're not going to have a strong prayer life if you're worried about what's going on Facebook more than you're worried about what's going on in His book. You're not going to have a good prayer life if you're more concerned with what's going on outside the world than you are in your prayer closet. It might take some time of you humbling yourself before God and pouring out to God. Give Him them raw emotions. If you're sick to death of everything that's going on, then you ought to have the gumption to tell God, "I'm sick to death of what's going on. And if you don't help me, I don't know if I'm going to get through this." Every single time, every child of God that's ever went to Him, He's helped them through those things. Elijah cried out to God and said, "I'm the last prophet you got down here." God said, "I got 7,000, ain't bowed a knee to Baal's prophets. You're not alone in this thing." The problem is that now, not that God can't answer your prayer or not that God can't work in your life, it's that you won't trust God to do so. Just rear back and let Him know, "Lord, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. My heart's breaking. I'm discouraged. I'm downtrodden. Lord, I got this sin that I can't seem to get rid of. Lord, I've got this that's going on in my life. Lord, I've got this pain that I'm dealing with. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul besought God three times for the thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh was, whether it was really a spiritual matter or whether it was his eyes. It is believed, some commentators believe, that the Apostle Paul had an infection in his eyes that caused pus to run out of his eyes and out of his tear duct, and that he was grotesque to look upon and stunk, and yet he would still have to go and preach to all these people. I can tell you one thing. If I had a sty in my eye, I'd be not willing to preach. I'd be like, everybody be looking at my eye. Amen? You know how it feels. Y'all, don't you drop on me. You get a sty, then you get up in front of somebody and you're thinking, you're talking, and all that's going on in your mind is that your sty's waving at them. And here's the old Apostle Paul. He comes, he's got this supposed infection running out of his eyes, and he would have to greet people and talk with them and counsel with them. And I couldn't imagine the self-consciousness that he must have experienced. And so he besought God three times. And God didn't say, well, okay, I'm just going to take it away. I'm just going to remove it. Here's what he said. My grace is sufficient for you. And then he goes further and says, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You weak about something, why don't you bring it to the Lord? You got a weakness in your life, why don't you bring it to the Lord? Tell the Lord about it. Be honest and open to Him. His design is to glorify Jesus. You've got to be honest with Him. Verse number 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Everything that the Lord done, He has done for His glorification. And the Lord designed it that He would, from the Father, would get those things. Remember, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit would take of that communication and He would show it to you. We've got many, many things to learn, but we've got to grow as a Christian. Growth takes time. I've never put a little tomato plant in the ground and 2 days later walked out there and got a big, ripe, juicy tomato out of it. It takes a little time. The other day, me and Miss Tara, we cut open some kind of melon at home, and I kind of liked how it tasted. And she's got them chickens. Sometimes I'm a little jealous about them chickens. She said, I'm going to give these seeds to my chickens. I said, you better save some of them seeds for me, because I got good intentions of planting them next year. Somebody hold me accountable, amen. So right now they're laying on the stove dried, waiting to be put in a bag. I cut one of them big old beefsteak tomatoes that we had, made me, you know, one of them ones that you cut one slice and it covers the bread. Lord have mercy. Somebody just said, oh yeah, I love you too, brother. You get you a big old beefsteak tomato and you cut a big slice of that thing about that thick. And you get you some good old-fashioned cow slobber, a.k.a. mayonnaise. You slide it on that piece of bread, and you throw you some salt and some pepper on there. I don't know what kings eat, but that's got to be it. I ain't never had king's food, but that's got to be pretty close. I was cutting that thing open, and I seen one of them little bitty tomato seeds. And I thought, man, the potential that lies in that. Man, the potential that's in them little, it's some kind of cantaloupe seed, wasn't it? Some of the potential that lies in those little bitty seeds. The Lord said that if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, faith the size of a mustard seed, that God would do amazing things in your life. And we like to say, well, I got enough faith for that, but you don't have enough faith to pray to Him every day. You've not got enough faith in His Word to get in it and study it. How small mustard seed is, and yet how great potential there is that lies in it. Father, in Jesus' holy name, You've heard this message that I preached this morning. Help me, Lord, to grow as a Christian, as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor. Help me, Lord, to grow spiritually and to walk in Your light and in Your life. Help me, Lord, to be obedient to You. Help me, Lord, to seek Your face. God, help our church to do the same. Father, I pray if there be someone here that's never put their faith and their trust in You, that, Lord, today would be the good day that they would trust in You. Lord, that they would come to this old-fashioned altar, they would talk things over with You, and they would get right. I pray, Lord, that they would confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that You raised Jesus from the dead unto the saving of their soul. Lord, would You have Your will in Your way and increase our faith. Grow us, Lord. I know You've got so much more You want to tell us. Help us to grow in You. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us this morning while we sing?
Page 3.